This is CGSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. We respectfully acknowledge that we broadcast on unceded ancestral territory of the Coast Salish peoples. We stream online at cjsf.ca. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and listen to our podcasts on SoundCloud and our website, cjsf.ca. Have a request? Text or call us at 778-782-2573.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadian Philosophy Show. I'm your main host for today, Tegan Marshall. I'm here with Mihai Kovasser and Brandon Brownlee. How are you guys doing today? Well, as you know, we've been doing this mini-series on existentialism, and it's been a wild ride running through a bunch of different thoughts, but, you know, there's nothing quite like embracing freedom of ideas. So with that in mind, we are going to be journeying with my favorite existentialist, the one that I'm the most well-versed in, Martin Heidegger. As the resident Heideggerian, we all knew this day was coming. So I am excited to jump in and deal with that and to hear what my colleagues have to say about Heidegger's observations about the search for meaning and purpose within the world, how that also impacts how a person gains a sense of identity. So I'm bringing a bit of my honors thesis into this a little bit. I'm really excited to dive back in and dwell with some of Heidegger's ideas. He, unfortunately, as we'll get into right off the top, is a somewhat troubling figure historically for the discipline. And that can't be ignored, but my goal for this show is to bring a sense of appreciation for the idea that Heidegger brings forward, while recognizing that even philosophers make personal mistakes, but I would argue that those mistakes were at least attempted to be rectified according to his student. So I'll get into that a little later on.
The interesting thing about Heidegger specifically in this context is his place in existentialism. I mean, Heidegger himself, I don't think would have called himself an existentialist, but he definitely wrote an important work that influenced existentialism. And I do think that he is contained within that movement because of that. But it is interesting to think about kind of his place within the context of that. We spoke last time about Nietzsche. Heidegger was a very close reader of Nietzsche. And obviously that would go on to put Nietzsche in the influence of later existentialists, because Heidegger himself is just being so influential within that movement. My question throughout this is to wonder, and we can address this periodically, how it is that Heidegger is situated with the rest of the thinkers that we've been discussing. And we can't bring that up right now. We'll have to talk about the ideas and how they're anticipated by and how they anticipate other themes in existentialism. But that's just something to be noted.
Yeah, thought I would also bring up, as a starting point for his ideas, of course, we're going to talk, I imagine, about being in the world. And that's going to be a big part of this, because I think Heidegger tackles the concept of identity in a more explicit way than at least the previous two thinkers that we've been thinking about. I mean, Kierkegaard more concerned with, and Nietzsche both concerned with how to be. Also right. With who to be, obviously. I mean, we're talking about existentialism as a school of thought, but I think more explicitly Heidegger dives into that.
Where does Heidegger fit? As my colleagues have pointed out, Heidegger was a close reader of Friedrich Nietzsche's work and was heavily influenced, at least in his most famous work, Being in Time, by his mentor, Edmund Husserl. He takes the anxiety that Nietzsche has about determining a sense of purpose and place within the world, especially because, as we talked about last time, God for Nietzsche is dead. Again, we talked about that not being a positive thing. The thing that unified and gave individuals the opportunity to not take full accountability or to be rescued from their actions has disappeared. So this influences Heidegger a lot when he starts to break away from Nietzsche a little bit, because where Nietzsche focused a lot on a communal aspect of group identity, Heidegger, although it's true that Nietzsche definitely focused on individuals at points, Nietzsche was commenting on a much wider societal thing, whereas Heidegger gets really into the nitty-gritty of individual exploration, which right away brings us to his concept of world and what world is. And this is probably next to Dasein, which we'll talk about in a moment, is very, very different, but also very foundational to the continuation of existentialism after that. And that is that Heidegger doesn't deny the importance of being in community, right? He sees that as something we cannot escape. He calls the community of which you're raised and come to find your initial sense of identity, but the group that is also kind of just doing what they've always done without really critically assessing it, right? We're pulling a little bit of Nietzschean perspectivism in here, right? With lack of perspective critical analysis, he refers to that group as the they. Why? The they seems so derogatory. Well, the they is meant to signify a lack of individuation. There's no separation of persons. And so in his beginning of Being in Time, Heidegger states that his fundamental purpose is to reawaken the question of what it means to be. And he says in order to accomplish this, that he will have to explore and interrogate the idea and discover what being truly is. He says, in fact, he makes a startling claim for the philosophers of his day that even by the time of Plato and Aristotle, the idea of what it means to be had been kind of settled and had been forgotten about. And so he has this anxiety, he has this dread about him that if the philosophers and students of his time don't understand who they are and how the ramifications of that realization shape the world that they are in and they interact with, that's going to be super problematic, because if you have no idea of who you are, for Heidegger, that spells disaster for philosophy. The way his concept of world is constructed is that the world is not a geographical location, right? It's not you live in Nanaimo, BC. The world is your being as it interacts with experiences and phenomenon and gathers meaning and purpose from those experiences. It is a far more, well, because he's also a phenomenologist, this a person who studies phenomenon. It's all about phenomenon. It's all about drawing out meaning and purpose from experience. So whereas some other existentialists would try to still hold a more rationalization of that, to say that, well, we get meaning from thinking about these things and that sort of thing, Heidegger is like, this is true, but you also can't dispute the raw investigative nature of experience. Yeah, there's a lot I need to get into. We need to talk about world, we need to talk about Dasein, and then we need to talk about the ramifications of that. But before we do that, I wanted to turn it back over to my colleagues, see if they have any comments or observations.
To bring it just outside of the realm of the specific discussion we're having right now about Heidegger, about his ideas, I'm curious to what extent... I mean, clearly existentialism has been, you know, an incredibly renowned, remembered school of thought. People consider these ideas all the time. Many people use them to help learn about themselves or align with certain of these ideas on how to view the world. I think what's super interesting, though, is that especially for someone like Heidegger, but even for the people that we talked about before, there's something so... there's a rejection of some deeply held norms and ideas about what it means to exist in all of these descriptions of the world and of self. Kierkegaard asking us to reject everything in the name of faith, everything rational. Nietzsche bringing us ideas about what it means to be sane and to be whole in a world in which we no longer have something like God, which was, you know, insane at the time. And I'm curious, like, how Heidegger was received as being someone who describes existing in the world, who rejects the concept of I and rejects the concept of like a world full of objects and sees it instead as an example of a world of phenomena and of behavior. So I know we're going to get into that, but I would like to touch on how he was received as well, if you know much about that, Tegan. And I know we'll talk about that culturally as well. And you mentioned some unsavory aspects of his, you know, of his involvement in social life in Germany, which we'll also get to, I imagine. But I would like you to touch on, if you can, just exactly how these ideas come to be accepted. Maybe if you have thoughts on why or how people come to reject things that are so close to heart in favor of ideas like these. Why you did it, for example, because as a self-proclaimed Heideggerian, I'm curious, like, that's a hard pill to swallow. There is no I, and the world is not objects, but experiences. It's so alien, I think, to people, especially listening. I just want to relate it, right, to our audience in a sense, because for someone listening, it just seems weird, I would imagine. So
it seems weird to those who have fallen asleep to the reality of life itself. But yeah,
I'd like to hear you argue that.
Yeah, sure. So, right. We're born into a very specific set of cultural expectations and outlooks, and we're shaped by the people around us. And obviously, growing up as children, right, we're sponges, in the sense of we just take stuff in and we take that, we work with that. And at some points we may make that our own, obviously, but often there's just this kind of, for lack of a better term, core programming that's just part of who we are. And I think in every existentialist, you see this moment where they come to realize, oh, wait a second. These were not ideas I honed on my own, by my own investigation, for my own purposes, for my own betterment, and then actually for the advancement of my community. These were ideas that were foundational to a certain set of of society, perhaps, but don't necessarily 100% reflect me, right? Philosophers have always done introspective work. Philosophy to this time was drawing from Plato and Aristotle, which are all good sources, by the way. But, right, they were taking that and kind of just reinterpreting that for abstraction, for their own life. Whereas the existentialists were like, no, we need to actually go into ourselves and find out who we are. And actually we need to maybe not go as far as Descartes in his reject everything for what is solely knowable by me alone, but really try to re-examine how we've picked up some of these ideas and worked with them. So I think you look at Heidegger is definitely radical, and I mean that was seen in his reception in Germany. They were like, my guy, you're being a weirdo. What the heck? But I think also in the existential movement, at least if you go with Nietzsche as the starting point, as more of the stark existentialist idea, came out of a time of great desperation for people, great desperation to find some foundation as they saw a lot of what was traditionally accepted almost falling apart around them, right? This was Nietzsche's criticism of Christianity of his day, was there are no legitimate Christians. You are just all hypocrites. And that's a problem. Right, because if faith is at the center for Nietzsche's community of how they see the world, but even then that is not being accurately represented, that's a problem. So then you got Heidegger who comes along and says, stop it. Stop this just taking old stuff, reinterpreting it, and throwing it out into the ether. Actually sit with the idea of being and try to understand what that is, not just the characteristics we superimpose on these things, but what they are. Basically what Heidegger is doing is he's stripping away all the kind of extra stuff we've used to understand, you know, for example, who I am, who Tegan is. Right, who I am, right, is obviously there's some things that are very physically obvious. For example, the fact that I use a wheelchair to get around, so my disability is evident. But my disability is not inherently who I am. It influences who I am. It influences the opportunities and the choices that I make, but it's not inherently who I am as a very core to my being. And so it's more of that desire, instead of looking outward to society or other philosophy to give you a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose, a sense of identity, the existentialist actually gives philosophy its identity through their own experience. That's a hard thing to do, and Heidegger acknowledges this. It is a hard thing to step out into this new stage of awareness. As he describes it in Being in Time, he says, when you come to, this isn't an exact quote, this is a description, he talks about when you come to this sense of that you alone are going to die, when you run into your own mortality, that there isn't this, you know, you're not all going to die as a group all at once. You're going to, for lack of a better word, be picked off one by one. And you become aware of that, that drastically changes how you see every interaction with the world. And he says that you are filled with this sense of uncanniness. Nothing feels normal because you've just been doing it for so long, versus doing it with intention to understand, to seek and derive meaning. So I guess what I would say in summation is the existential movement was one that was focused on creating a new experience of philosophy that was not critical of personal experience, rather use that to then create ideas that were more generalizable, such as Martin Heidegger's concept of being and Dasein and all those other things. But I also see Mihai's point that this is existentialism is a little trippy, because it's like, wait, what? Especially when you get to Heidegger, because he was part of Heidegger's less than stellar reception in Germany. Was the fact that he created an entirely new language to describe these concepts that he was talking about. And I remember my existentialism professor, Dr. Robert Peppersmith, saying Heidegger is notoriously hard to translate for even very, very literate Germans, because he had such nuance in his terminology that basically anyone who wasn't him almost couldn't necessarily fully get the idea. That brings us to the whole question of the miniseries. Is existentialism is great for personal investigation and self-actualization, but does the existentialist focus on that introspection so much that they actually miss out on the moments and the beauty of life and the process of trying to figure out the deepest meaning of every moment? I don't know, Mihai, if that answered your question or not. I mean, with existentialism, you're just naturally going to have more questions than answers. Heidegger was not messing around. He was like, I'm going to find being, and I am going to interrogate it, and I'm going to figure it out. So Dasein, what is Dasein? Dasein is a person at their very core. So you strip away the physical nature, you strip away everything, who that person is. Basically, you can understand Dasein in a sense of essence, but I like to understand Dasein the way Robert Peppersmith kind of taught me to understand it, which was the undetermined possibility of a person. That Dasein is that thing that seeks, explores the world, explores situations, explores phenomenon, and through that gains knowledge and experience that helps it then to create and take steps in self-actualization and exploration. This is radically different, because Heidegger's not so worried about morality here. He's not so worried about, you know, a social structure, but he's worried about understanding, again, how experience is chosen, how experience is acted upon, and how experience to one's very possibility is understood. I see, Mihai, you had your hand up there.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting distinction that maybe I can offer another, another way of describing it and how I like to think about it and why I think it's interesting. So in a sense, Dasein, correct me if I'm wrong, is not so much... It's not about describing an object. That's what I think is really interesting about this. It's about describing a way of being. And so what I think is kind of difficult to wrap your head around with this idea, and what I think interests me, is that as far as I know, for Heidegger, there's no distinction between self and world, really. There's no, it's not about I am an object in a world of other objects, and the world is also an object. It's like, I am a collection of interactions that perceives itself in a certain way. And I think what's interesting about that is it really changes what is meaningful, you know, in the way we live our lives. And I think maybe that's part of the reason that people play with these ideas, is like, as opposed to thinking of everyone and everything as things, and that's the primary, like, you describe what they are like to your senses, right? It looks like this, it sounds like this, it produces these causal effects. It's more like, what is my personal interaction with these objects, and what is the meaning then of that object relative to me? And what I think is interesting about it is, on the one hand, it's not super intuitive, because it makes it difficult to talk about anything objective. And that's the part that I think I struggle with sometimes, is how do you live in a world like that and still talk about objective truths and objective realities? And I think maybe that's part of the point of existentialism, is making it about each individual and their experience. But
mm-hmm.
that is a part that I kind of struggle with, maybe disagree with, but what I like is that it makes you think about the world in a very different way, sometimes in a much more meaningful way, when you're like, what is my relationship to all of these things around me, to all these people around mm-hmm. me, you know, that's not just sensual.
Mm-hmm. And you brought up a good point, and you brought up a foundation to understand Heidegger. You must understand how he views and understands phenomenon, and how he views and understands phenomenon is that through the principles of phenomenology. So his main concern with Dasein and understanding being is that you go to the thing itself. You don't seek out exterior sources to be like, what is being? No, you go and you sit with that and you dwell with that alone. And then next you realize that all acts are interpretive. So that Dasein is constantly interpreting experience and learning from that via interpretation. So even if, and we see this in real life, even if Mihai and I have the exact same experiences, like the exact same experience, we share an experience, he may have a very different read on a situation than I do. Why? Because of everything we've had going prior to that experience, which is vastly different. Heidegger would say your Dasein has collected that information and is interpreting everything through those prior experiences. Even the new stuff that's coming in. And then finally, the world in which you dwell arises out of a fundamental commitment of the heart. Let me say that again. The world in which you dwell comes out of a fundamental commitment, something that is foundational to who you are. So for me, for example, if I want to be a philosophy professor at Vancouver Island University, I have, my commitment is that, so everything I do is ordered towards the completion of that. And that is where we want to remind you that you are listening to the Canadian Philosophy Show. I'm your host, Tegan Marshall. We are talking about Martin Heidegger in episode two or three? In the latest episode, anyway, episode three, exactly, of the Existentialism miniseries. So I was just explaining the foundational concepts of Heidegger's method of phenomenology, and we are glad to have you with us today.